Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tadaima Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpinito, and I am joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Zepeda.
Irishamasa.
And Colin Sparling.
Hello, everybody.
And it's exciting. You've listened to last week's episode where we talked about the ghouls of Tokyo 2019-2020. This week, we're going to talk about the other side of the house. We're going to talk about the boys. Y'all excited to talk about the boys?
Crack a cold one with the boys. Doing things with the boys.
Thinking about boys.
I'm rolling with the homies.
Boys.
Driving them boys bananas.
We are gearing up for that sweet, sweet Tokyo 2019-2020 drop on international American Netflix. That's going to be next Tuesday, which is the usual day we publish. So we're very excited, and we hope that you are as well. Before we dive into these interviews, though, we just want to give a shout out to Costco Subs once again for translating all of these interviews and, you know, timing all of them. And it's just been so great, and it helps us cover these awesome little bits of Terrace House that will not be on Netflix.
So I realize that it is very important we shout out Costco Subs, because without them, we wouldn't have this content to do the show. But I just realized with how many shoutouts they're getting over last week and this week, they've turned into our Hideo Kojima.
Like, Tadaima produced, like, by Costco Subs.
Yes, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, I love, like, whenever I'm playing Metal Gear, I'm just like, I love this game. If only I knew who it was written and produced and directed by.
Costco Subs.
Costco Subs.
And then Costco leaves, or Subs leaves Costco, and then, you know, they did that whole thing where, like, you know, they Subs gets they get scrubbed from all the Costco content.
Oh, wait, then they can't go to E3 anymore.
Yeah.
I think we're just straight up saying that Costco Subs' real identity is Hideo Kojima.
Maybe. Whoa.
Well, my question is, where are the Costco DOMs? Okay. So, this. Hmm.
Nope.
Okay, nope. This batch of episodes is brought to us by Costco Subs, specifically Mrs. Chap, Coma, Mel, Goob, Kato Des, and Chrissy B. So thank you once again. And before we dive in, just a quick shout out, please leave us an iTunes review if you do enjoy our show. It does help us out a lot, immensely.
Arigato.
Same. But without further ado, let's start talking about them. Spoilers inbound. If you don't want to know any names or occupations or ages, now's your time to bail.
And boom, good God, these boys, let me tell you something about these boys.
They've got personality, and I've got nicknames for all three of them already.
Oh my God.
I like that they brought Shohei back.
Giving
him a second chance. Yeah.
Okay. Shohei is reincarnated.
Did we mention that we got all this linked in the description, right?
Oh, it's all down there. Yeah, good call.
Go down there. Okay.
But so yes, Shohei, we get, yeah, they, Shohei had a name numero him. Uno or numero dos.
Shohei 2, Electric Dream.
No, this is
Shohei Matsuzaki, 25 years old, and he lives in Taiwan. That in and of itself is very wild to me.
It's unique. So I think over the span of his Shins and Shins. Mm-hmm. They speak like three different languages. They're like speaking a mix of Chinese, Japanese, English,
broken ass English.
Yeah.
And some it's facial piercings going on there with one of his friends.
For sure. It's a dialect of Chinese. I don't know enough about the Chinese languages to like be able to tell which one. I don't know if Taiwan speaks like Mandarin or Cantonese. But I think it's wild how much not only were all of them speaking three different languages, but all of them understood each other in three different languages. Like, that's a whole nother level. That's like prime yoga brain shit.
That's so weird that the way they were doing that. I was like, because even if I knew two other languages, like, damn, you just so happen to have two other friends that speaking like this, you're basically this own your own mixture of Chinese, Japanese, and English, and they just understand like every word you're saying. My brain doesn't work like that. I couldn't picture myself doing that. Like, it's so strange. And when they spoke English, they spoke with a Japanese accent, or at least from what I was hearing. So it was just all over the place.
Yeah,
Daily, were you gonna say?
Yeah. We here in America are I think, stunted as children, because a lot of times in other countries, you learn from a young age many languages, and therefore, if you know, you're able to continue to use them, it becomes that easy to switch between all of them. And English is taught pretty widely. So I'm, from what we then learn from his actual interview, I feel like that might have been like kind of the baseline that they were able to speak to each other in before he started learning Chinese better.
Yeah, because he mentions, yeah, he doesn't learn Chinese till later in life. He doesn't start learning it till he moved to Taiwan, right?
He literally said, like, I moved here and I realized I should probably learn Chinese now.
It's probably a thing too. Like, I would imagine in Asian countries, like, yeah, you're going to be more exposed to other languages from other countries because of proximity. And I imagine it's probably the similar thing in Europe, too. But America, it's not really like that. Like, people barely speak Spanish here, and almost no one speaks French.
Wait, what's that language?
I know. Francais. Hey, do not insult the people in France listening to our show right now.
It's France.
We love you.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. I think it's really cool. And especially because, you know, I grew up in a place where a lot of people were speaking multiple languages. And when you're the kind of person who's able to actually be fluent in more than one language, like, your brain thinks differently. You know, it's literally on a whole nother level. It's like adding a third and fourth core to your brain, kind of.
Guys, we have a problem we need to fix here. And they did not consider this when they brought in these six new people to T20. Now we have two Shoheis, okay? And as we learned last week, we have two Risakos now. The nicknames need to come out. And may I present to the court my nickname for Shohei Matsuzaki.
Jack, you have the floor.
Beanie. Because the man always has that damn blue-green beanie on.
Plateau.
And everything, I see him wearing. What?
I was going to say, dude, we've seen him twice.
And he was wearing the same exact outfit.
It's the same beanie. And then
they were probably recording the same day.
The promo picture. Yeah, probably was the same day. The promo picture too on Netflix for T20. He's wearing the same damn beanie. It probably was the same day with all that stuff, though. But it's just like, we need to like differentiate when we start talking about Terrace House overall between the two Shoheis. It's a problem.
Can I propose instead we name the old Shohei Crab Man? And we maintain this Shohei as Shohei. Only because beanie is uncomfortably close to another word that people might use to describe a certain race.
Every word's close, uncomfortably close to some other word, though. So I'm just saying, he's got that dang beanie on, and it's like what I know him by now. He kind of seems he's got a little bit of a bad boy persona to him, too. I don't know. I get a little bit of that rock star attitude.
Yeah, I get that. But maybe let's dive a little bit into his interview, right? So he wants to be an actor. That's his whole shtick, right? He did that in college. He tried to do that post-college, but did the classic thing of working part-time at different places while trying to get acting gigs. I mean, we've all met an actor, right? And then...
Apparently.
I guess so, right?
According to Terrace House, everyone's tried either modeling or acting at one point in their lives.
Well, see, this Shohei is different, though, because he tried acting first and then resorted to modeling. So, you know, he went the other way. He did it backwards.
Oh, well, guess I'm going to model now.
And I love that, too. Yeah, that indifference, right? That's just like, oh, well, I might as well model, right? Like it's his choice.
Right. Do you think there are beanie models? Is that a thing? Like, your head's the right shape to
100%
for beanies.
Yeah, you never seen a hot boy wearing a saggy beanie?
Dude, there's models for everything. There's hand models, there's feet models, there's leg models, there's booty models.
There's good actors too. There's actors that can rock the beanie too. You know, you've seen Zac Efron rocking a beanie. You see Amazing Spider-Man guy? Who's that?
No, let him hang.
Andrew Garfield, that guy.
Dude, you put anything on David Beckham and I'm buying it. That's how I feel.
That's true.
David Beckham too.
So this Shohei, he likes Taiwanese movies, which is part of the reason that he moved to Taiwan, which that's a wild reason. Right? Dude, like, could you imagine, I really like India. I like Bollywood movies, so I'm just going to move to India.
See, that's better, though, because they speak English at least. He didn't realize until he got to Taiwan, according to his account, that, oh, shit, they're going to direct me in a different language than I don't understand.
I thought that is That is the part I don't follow. Like, yeah. Like, did he think that the production would just speak Japanese
or English?
Yeah, they're gonna bring in a translator. Like, what was the thought process there?
Yeah, I don't know enough about Taiwanese movies to know if they're primarily in Chinese or maybe some of them are in Japanese.
And I agree. I mean, much to my own personal shame, I cannot name a movie that is known for coming from Taiwan. I wish I knew more. Huh?
Shudder.
Shudder.
Taiwan is very well known for their horror movies.
Okay.
Taiwan and Japan, actually. We've done a lot of remakes of Taiwanese and Japanese horror movies over here.
The Ring.
And they're almost never as good.
The Grudge. Yeah. True.
That's what they're mainly known for. As far as I know, I don't know all the facts, but.
Right. You know, can I propose this for his nickname? Mat-chan. Like Matsuzaki?
Mat-chan.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Matsuzaki-kun.
Mat-chan.
Yeah, with this Shohei, the reason he's joining Terrace House, it's a very laissez-faire one. It's a very chill, relaxed one. He doesn't have one main reason. He just wants to go to Japan in the summer, and it seems like it'll be fun.
Hooray, yeah, fun in the Japanese sun.
I like the way when he was talking to his friends and, you know, switching rapidly back and forth between languages, he was like, they were like, oh, do you want to, like, get a girlfriend, and he was like, just fun.
Yeah, it was very just like laissez conversation between him and his friends too. So I don't know, like, I didn't come away from that conversation feeling like I knew much more about him.
Nah, but you want to learn more. He leaves you wanting to learn more, you know. And he, like I said, he kind of has a little bit of a bad boy persona. I don't know what it is exactly, but my hope is that we get a little bit more exposure to Taiwan, because as a Terrace House viewer, you know, I don't really know much. Like I said, I don't know any movies that came out of it. I don't know much about Taiwan. I love their food. That's about it.
Yeah. I do think part of that bad boy feeling that you might be getting is because to me, he seems like the kind of person that isn't very deep, but is constantly changing what fills him. He's like he's like a puddle that isn't always water. Yeah.
So he just wakes up every morning like, which beanie do I pick today?
No, he's more so like, because he says he wants to be in a place where he can always pursue his dreams. And right now, those dreams happen to be about movies. But the way he says that kind of makes me think that 3 months from now, 8 months from now, 2 years from now, he could wake up and be like, you know, now my dream is painting. And now I'm going
to. Yeah, he's a wayward soul right now. He's just kind of finding his own way. He's a free spirit.
Yeah, remind me, how old is Shohei?
25.
Yeah.
So he should, and maybe start to get figured out. But yeah, he should start figuring out the one thing that he wants to pursue and build some stability in that.
Getting to that point.
Or maybe not. Maybe he just wants to wander the world, and that's fine too.
Maybe he just wants to be happy, like our man Armand.
He just wants to discover the things that interest him. That's kind of his whole vibe, which I think maybe that contributes to the bad boy persona, because he doesn't seem like a stable person in terms of like a career. He just kind of he goes with the flow. He goes with where the wind takes him.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever the case, he's making enough money to travel a lot, that's for sure.
Remind me real quick, guys. Did he go into the type of girl he likes in his interview?
He says he likes a strong girl who pursues her own dreams and doesn't sit around and wait for those dreams to happen.
A hard worker. Didn't he say someone a creative type?
Or was that somebody else? He did mention creatives.
And I'm thinking instantly, I was like, motherfuck, there's a girl like that right now that he's going to meet.
Cody.
Yes. Cody. I'm not going to say her name anymore after last week.
Cowrie.
Butchering it enough. I'll let you guys say it for me.
K-O-R-I?
Kaori.
Hey, you're getting close. No, I mean... I mean, based on that alone, I could see him maybe gravitating toward Cody. I'm curious how he'd feel about the age gap, though, with him being the younger one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
He seems like he might be a little iffy about that.
Right. I'm really excited to talk about the next boy, if I'm being honest.
Let's talk about the next boy.
All right.
Kenji. So,
yes.
Yoshihara. Can we call him Yoshi?
I mean, if he'll let us. I love Yoshi. If he'll let us.
Kenji.
But
he seems like the dad of the group, just based on age alone. He's 31, definitely the oldest going into this beginning T20 house. Mm. And he also is a bit of a wayward soul, I would say. We get his chins and shin shot is in his home, which is not just a school bus, but a school bus from Hawaii somehow.
And it's decked out, like completely decked out. It's like, I saw these shots and I was like, this is some straight Tumblr shit. Like,
isn't it?
Oh my God.
Like, convert an old bus into a fucking house.
Isn't it, like, a short bus too?
It is.
Yeah.
It's a short, like,
just hash.
Just a bed and a guitar and a cooler full of, I think, beer.
Yeah. And he wants to add a kitchen. Maybe. Eventually.
Hashtag van life.
Yeah, hashtag van
bus
life.
I was very confused here because I thought he was in Hawaii. Is he in Japan at the time of this? Because I thought it was Hawaii.
Kanagawa. He's
yeah, it was. You're right. It was.
The subtitle
was
Kanagawa. Said.
Yep.
Okay. For some reason, I don't know what it was, the music or the beach scene or something. I was like, oh, this like.
On the side of the bus, it did say like Hawaii District School or something like
that's
that.
That's what it was. Okay. I thought it was in Hawaii for some reason. So
that's why I was confused. I'm like, how the fuck did a Hawaii bus make its way to Japan?
It floated.
It's possible, y'all.
If I had to guess, you got a second
hand. We have the technology.
Yes.
I guess
we can
so.
Do this. But Kenji is a pretty cool dude. He's lead singer of a band called Spicy Soul. Or
in all caps, except for the I.
Yeah.
Also, Soul is not spelled with a U, which then suggests like the sun.
The sun right. Is spicy.
S-O-L. Spicy sun. Spicy.
Yeah, the implying the sun's a little hot, maybe.
Oh, anyone get a chance to listen to Spicy Soul?
No.
I did
so
not.
So I did. They have some popular YouTube videos, actually, like 750,000 views with their most popular video, 500,000 views on their second most popular.
Pretty is he like our chill. Boy Kyujitsu Kacho?
It's interesting because, well, he's a singer and like he used to have a big, bushy, almost half afro haircut, too. Just last year. It's pretty funny now because we see him only with short hair. But the music's interesting. I wouldn't sit here and say like, oh yeah, I'm going to go out to a show and buy their album right away. But I mean, it's good. It's quality. And he's a solid singer. I don't know if I'd say he's like a world-class talent or anything like that. But it fits the style. And it's just pretty chill music.
He described it as like R&B and like surfer music.
Yeah. Good.
He made a lot of allusions to Jack Johnson, which I love Jack Johnson. Yeah. I thought that was really neat.
I was thinking there is Sublime a little bit. Also Pepper, if anyone knows Pepper, I was getting that vibe too. Okay. From them. And then but then he had some weird song that sounded like a role-playing game, like item shop background music. Like
hey, I'm down.
You'll know
I'm
when
down.
You know it. Yeah, you'll know when playing. You hear it. But no, I mean it's good. I mean, I'll continue to listen to it.
For reference, on Spotify, they are sitting at 194,000 monthly listeners, nearly 200,000. That's pretty good. And one of their most listened to songs is up in the upper 800,000 streams.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's a big reason what he said why he's coming to Terrace House. You know, he's hoping the band gets a big boost from this. And he wasn't shy about saying that.
Yeah, he was very, very upfront about it, which I was down for. I mean, you just might as well say it.
Yeah, I mean, don't lie. I mean, don't lie to yourself, man. Like, we know why you're there. And I
want to make a quick comparison to the last season's Small Time Musician. They have Spicy Soul has nearly double the, more than double the monthly streams on Spotify compared to Shohei's band, 3 in
1989.
Okay. And Kenji's band hasn't, he's on Terrace House now, so I'm sure he's already getting listens. But
that's true.
Especially when when Terrace House hits Terrace House Tokyo anyway, hits international shores, it's going to boost those listens even more. I would have to assume.
Yeah. And I mean, and you can't blame the guy.
Take a screenshot now and make that comparison later.
I was going to say you can't blame the guy because Terrace House is a great platform for this. So of course, it's going to springboard your career.
Yeah. I mean, if there was ever a place for shameless self promotion, it's you know
that's basically what Terrace House is, right?
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
I don't know. Yeah. So Kenji as a personality, I don't know. There was something that like at first kind of rubbed me the wrong way about him. I can't really put my finger on it though. I just something about it was off-putting to me.
I'll tell you the part where he annoyed me a little bit already.
Yeah,
when he was like Well, I identify with this, first of all, because I used to sing, too, as well in a band. But whatever. Mm. But when he would say, I want a girl to like me and just treat me as a person and not treat me as a musician, I agree with that. That's not the part that kind of like made me laugh. But the part that made me snicker was when he was like, so I make it a point not to go on early dates to karaoke.
Yep.
Because it's just like, what? Like, if you sing like Baby Got Back, she's just going to instantly fall in love with you. Like, the are dropping to the floor. Down. It's on now. Yeah. Like,
actually, you got a little bit of ego.
Here's a good question for the two singers in our podcast right now. Back when you were like actively singing in your respective bands, was doing karaoke or the thought of doing karaoke, was that akin to doing work for you guys?
No, because I was doing work. Like Nothing But G Thing by Snoop Dogg and like Today Was a Good Day by Ice Cube. I was doing like old 90s gangster rap, which was nothing like the music I was creating. So it was like a release for me. It was like an escape.
So since I've been in the band, I've only ever done karaoke once, and that was with coworkers after I moved here. So that was like well after the fact. So yeah, don't really have a touch point there.
Fair.
Yeah, karaoke's always been a point of fun for me. It's never felt like work. It's always been a good time.
Interesting.
Have we ever had like a Terrace House like group date? Let's go do karaoke. Because that's going to be on my wish list then for this season. Because I think that would be fun.
I've played tons of karaoke in Yakuza, if that counts.
I mean,
that
as prevalent
that does
as,
not count.
As prevalent as karaoke is in Japan, you would think we'd see more of it.
Yeah, because I just racked my brain and I'm like, I feel like I have, but I can't. I think that's just my brain making it up because I think it's right. You know what I mean?
And if it did happen, I'm sure some people are screaming at their phones right now listening to us. They're like, it happened in Boys and Girls Next Door, you idiots.
Or maybe we're being totally stereotypical and it's like, stop being cool. It's like, oh, you're still on the karaoke bus? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to live
in a world where karaoke isn't cool.
I can confirm in Korea, at least 3-4 years ago, it was still very cool.
Oh, karaoke's so cool, guys. We should do karaoke in Seattle.
I mean, I will say I sang the shit out of some Guitar Hero and Rock Band when that was a thing.
Hell yes.
Yes.
One thing I want to... Okay, go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay. One thing about Shohei. So Shohei for... Not Shohei, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of musicians now. Kenji. One thing with Kenji is that he's a duality for me. There's parts of him I like and parts of him that give me humongous red flags. Because I like that he's trying to separate his humanity from his art in a way where it's like, you know, if a girl's going to like me for me, not because I sing real good, right? Mm-hmm. But then he also wants to break the mold of Japanese society where musicians can talk about their personal lives. So it's kind of this weird thing where you want your personal life to be part of your professional life.
Right.
But
right.
Where does your girlfriend or your prospective girlfriend fit into all this?
Models his life after Jack Johnson, right?
Yeah. Where music is his last priority.
Music his last priority, as he puts it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So like he wants to be able to like, you know, have a personal life, have a wife and kids supposedly. And be able to make music kind of like his last priority, but make a living off of it still. So I don't know. It's definitely an interesting dichotomy and an interesting philosophy. But I mean, if they're already getting tons of listens, I don't know. Maybe it's working out for him. I mean, maybe. You just never know that's a fickle thing with this sort of thing, stuff like with music or art in general, really, is like you never know when it's going to stick.
And I will say now in real time, because I was looking at his videos, it looks like, I mean, you know, as of the date of this recording of this podcast, about 2 weeks ago, they're getting ready to launch a new album or a new EP. So he's like in the throes of, you know, like heavy promotion here. This is the time to work really hard. And 31 around that age is really when you got to like kind of come to Jesus and like decide like, man, am I going to do this or not? I mean, remember Hayato, right? And Boys and Girls, like 30 was the deadline there. So you got to really decide what you're going to do.
I mean, before Hayato was even 29, he made the call. He's like, I'm going to quit acting, pursue being a chef. And he was a damn good chef, you know, so it's not like he wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he may be a little bit late in the game if he's still trying to do the musician thing. But maybe this is the thing that breaks him. Who knows?
Yeah. Spicy Soul's got a little bit of a following, like I said, and I like their music. So I'll continue to listen to them.
Yeah. So, OK. So I will say that was one of the things that he brought up. He's like, yeah, I really want to play, you know, an actual real dome instead of the Budokan? Budokan is what he said?
Yeah, Budokan. Like, dude, that's a huge venue.
Yeah, Budokan is a pretty big... I even know of Budokan, and I've never been to Japan.
Most people do, yeah. It's famous.
Yeah, it's a big thing in the 80s. Daily, I feel like you've been trying to say something for the past, like, 2 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, sorry,
Daily. Just yell us down, Daily.
Yeah.
But, like, as far as, like, because there are some red flags, I think he is kind of confused, like, as to what he wants to do. Like, he says he knows what he wants to do career-wise, but then he's like, I want to model my life after Jack Johnson, and, you know, career comes last. And it's interesting because then everything he talked about, he was like, what are your goals for Terasots? It's like, oh, a lot of career stuff. And then the very last one, also, I want to fall in love. Like, just drop that bomb at the end there. Like, I want to fall in love.
And it's not just love, but he's already thinking kids. He's thinking he wants to be the kind of musician that's good with kids. And he specifically said in Japanese, he wants to be a papa musician.
Papa.
Which I now move, actually, I want that to be his nickname. Papa musician.
Papa.
I mean,
Kenji's papa.
If he wants to fall in love, I mean, the rule I always had was, like, don't date someone you meet at a show. Mm. That was basically it, you know? So, I mean, that's probably a big heavy motivator for him to go on an adventure such as Terrace House.
Wait, but Terrace House is a show.
No, to his own show. Like, don't meet someone at the Spicy Soul show, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can I just
the
say...
The whole show is his show.
Oh, God. The whole world's a stage, and
he'll never find love
in his stage. One really big red flag, though, to me was, I don't know if this is something you guys caught too, but they asked him about his past relationship, and he mentioned that he was in a relationship 3 years ago, and these are the details we have of his ex. One, she was younger than him. Two, okay. She's gorgeous, like a model.
Oh yeah. He kind of paused on that a little too long.
Lingered on that a little awkwardly, yeah.
Yeah, it's just that to me reeks of you still think about her, huh? You still think her up on her, huh?
See, that upset me too, because I had already had it going in my head from the Chins and Shins video, which I love that we're calling it that. His buddy was like, oh, are you gonna like, you're gonna like draw them? Like, he's an artist in multiple ways, apparently. So he has illustration skill. Yeah, so I was like, wow. Oh, him and Kaori, right? Yeah. It's Kaori. It's the illustrator. Yeah. Maybe they're around the same age. Maybe they'll hit it off. But then he said that and it was like, oh, you're going to, I know you. I know what you're going to do.
Maybe that's
unfair of me.
Is that his move, you think, Daily? Is that what you're going to get?
Oh, no. I was saying that. I thought that he would click really well with Kaori because they would share like the drawing thing and being creative. Now.
Yeah.
But now hearing that that's very much his type, doesn't seem to be over, then he's going to go for the two girls that are models.
Well, gorgeous, I guess like a model.
She's a gorgeous like models, which isn't to say that Kaori's not beautiful because she is, but like that type, you know, model type.
Yeah.
It's a different type.
I don't know, man. I just, for me, the biggest red flag is that he's still hung up. Like, to me, that just sounds like he's hung up on his ex.
He gave a little tell. We don't know, though. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, sure. He wants to try new experiences here, but he did just like, it was just that slightest of a hint. Like, bro.
I'm just saying, if this turns out to be...
Don't get so excited when you talk about your ex, man.
Another Yuriko from Boys and Girls where he tries to get back with his ex. And then she's like, I can't. I'm dating the hospital director's son. Now, or daughter.
I'm dating his daughter's son.
You know?
I'm dating the band that's bigger than you's lead singer.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
I'm dating
he walks out. He walks up. Masao walks out. Watch out.
What a cameo that would be.
That'd be a good one.
What a callback. Masao shows up with two models on his arms.
He made me his curry, and it was all uphill from there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Last thing I just want to drop about Kenji. There's a Jesus blanket, like, draped over the chair across from him. So not only was he talking to his buddy sitting on the bed, I, like, blinked for a minute and I was like, Jesus is just sitting there like listening to him talk about going on to Tara's house.
Jesus.
If he's a religious boy, that's fine with me.
No, that's fine.
You know?
So
I just didn't think it was just like
surprising.
That's a Jesus blanket. I've never seen a Jesus blanket in my life.
So I want to pose a question to the table. So the whole living in a in the van bus converted van thing. So it is that in and of itself kind of a red flag? Like, because that to me partially shouts like late mid or like early midlife crisis a little bit. Like, because I mean, he lives there. It's not like, you know, that's just his home away from home.
Like, where does he park?
That's where he shits.
How does he power? He doesn't shit in that van.
I mean, they didn't,
but no, seriously,
they didn't really talk about it though.
Where does he park the car or the van normally? And then also, how does he powering that mini fridge?
I'm sorry, hold on. I just realized this might be a season where the Terrace House won't need to supply two cars because we'll have a bus and a Corvette.
Dude, they need to go on a road trip with that bus. A camping trip.
I want it. No, that would be cool.
But realistically, yeah, I do kind of wonder what the answers are to those questions. Where does he park it? Especially during Terrace House, where do you park that? And yeah. Two, yeah. Is it generator, like keg generator, like a kerosene generator or something?
Yeah, I've watched some van life vlogs, and man, these things are very self-sustaining, like very tricked out. Like you have a separate battery, like you have the car battery, and then you have like the generator that powers everything else. And it's super quiet. It can go, it's probably under the bed, like under a platform under the bed. Huh. It's easy to add in extra appliances like a sink or like a full fridge.
Didn't he say he's adding a kitchen?
He wanted to add a kitchen, yeah.
Well, that's like crazy. You can add like a counter and like a sink maybe in the, like a single burner, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you could also do it in a thing. Well, go ahead, Daly.
The one difficult thing though that I've seen across like several van life blogs, which is getting really popular, so it's not just like a crazy homeless guy in his van. It's like very trendy. Showering is very difficult. So you're either under a hose out in the parking lot or like you go to a public bath, which there are plenty of in Japan. So
So he might be fine.
Yeah, he might be fine. And for a kitchen, like the cool thing about those buses is a lot of them have like the baggage compartments or the luggage compartments on the outside that open from the outside, right? So you could probably like put like a convertible stove or like countertop that folds out from there.
You gotta wonder.
Be surprised.
Does that positively or negatively affect his dating life? I just wonder.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's kind of what I'm getting at with the question that I was posing to the table.
Right.
Like, is that because if a girl starts dating him and it's like, oh, you know, like they become a couple. And like, when do you drop the bomb that you live in a van and how does someone react to that? And somebody may be all for it. Somebody and wants to be like live nomadically maybe, or somebody could be like, find it very abhorrent. Like,
by the way,
it's terrible.
It's not a van. It is literally a short bus.
Oh yeah. It's a short bus.
That's what it is, you know? So he's got the whole door arm open.
So I feel like the answer to that question, and it's a cop-out, but it probably depends, right?
I mean, it does. Like, you're right.
I mean, we can't just blanket statement every prospective dating partner is going to hate or like it, right? I think
that's true.
If we're talking about the three girls that are going to be in the house, if I had to guess, the one person who'd be the most on board with it would be Risako. I imagine Haruka is going to be absolutely not, because she hangs out with too many old people to consider the nomadic bus life stable in any way, shape, or form. Mm. And it's the fact that he's a musician on top of it, probably just a fat no.
It just screams of like instability, I guess. So it's just where are you at in your life? Like what kind of person do you want to date? A stable person or a roaming, wayward, pretty, you know, semi-successful musician here. And you got to wonder, he's probably doing it because he... Do you think he's doing it out of necessity? Or do you think he's doing it because that's really how he wants to live, too?
Because he wants to.
He kind of gave me the impression that, like, money was an issue.
I didn't get that.
You think no one got that? I kind of got it because he's doing it because I need more information.
Because the thing is that we're framing this conversation like once you have the van, yes, it's much cheaper, the day-to-day expenses, but that's a lot of cost up front. Because not only are you paying for a vehicle in Japan, of all places, but you're also paying to either renovate it, or it's already renovated, and then it's going to be way more expensive than your average short bus, which I'm guessing already isn't exactly cheap.
From Hawaii, so, too, so it's an import. He has an imported house.
It floated across the ocean, he has to have bought that used somewhere, and it was already in Japan. There's no way he had that imported.
You know what will be really unfortunate? I hope it doesn't happen. I hope he doesn't just, like, welcome himself to Tara's house, and then we never see the van ever again. Like, I'm hoping that doesn't happen with a Corvette either, right, with Haruka. But I'm kind of worried about that. Like, I kind of want the van to, like, be featured. I want it parked out front. I want people to go take trips in it. I want it to be around. I don't want it to just be a thing where, like, we see it this one time, and then we don't really see it again until he leaves in it.
Theory. What if the van, one of the bus, excuse me, becomes the new Japanese style room?
It's the fuck room.
Oh my god.
It's the fuck bus.
The fuck van, the van's a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
No come a knockin'.
Robert, you called it. It's the fuck bus.
It's the fuck bus.
That's where Rico and Hayato are gonna hide in the middle of the night.
Oh shit. And they're just gonna see.
When it comes to the fuck bus, I think he's definitely spinning it as, like, hey, this is something that Jack Johnson would probably do. And this is, you know, allowing me to access beaches as easily as I want to and, you know, go and travel and be the nomad. I don't think this was born out of necessity. I think this is part of the dream, the lifestyle.
He's living for that gram, in my opinion. Because this is like the van lifestyle thing is always one of those things where, like, I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see like that in a hashtag or like or something I would used to see on Tumblr or whatever, because nobody gets on fucking Tumblr anymore. Tumblr's dead. And you'd see it and you just like scroll past it, like, oh, that'd be cool. That'd be neat. That'd be a cool thing to do. And then you don't really think about it that deeply, because as soon as you start thinking about it a little bit past like the initial impression of like, fuck, logistically thinking this through is like, this would be a pain in the ass way to live.
Look, whenever I think of van, or I guess bus life in this case, my main source of anxiety is where you shit. Cause
that you are just worried.
No, well, what happens is he takes members of the house onto his fuck bus, and he, like, people are like, yeah, so this is where, you know, where I crash and I'm not on the show and blah blah blah. It's like, oh, what's this? This bucket smells really bad. Oh yeah, don't touch that.
Don't touch it.
Yoshihara-san.
Educate yourselves, guys. They have fully functioning bathrooms on these things. Have y'all ever been in an RV before?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, an RV, yeah. Yeah, but you,
yeah, an RV, but this is a school bus.
Listen, when you go on tour on a bus or an RV or anything like that, rule number one is don't use number two in the toilet, because it stinks the whole thing up.
Yeah,
that's like the first rule.
So even if it did have a toilet
today, today the trendy thing, according to vlogs that I've watched, which have been a couple, it's composting toilets, self-composting toilets. So it's essentially a human litter box.
Daily, you're an insider on this industry. We're going to come to you throughout the season.
Yeah, dude, like, you know your shit when it comes to van life.
You're an insider. I just got cut. Like, I watched one video on a Saturday, and that's what I spent my day doing on accident.
Wow. Yeah.
Then you fell down a Reddit rabbit hole.
Can I thank this man, please, guys? Can I thank him one time? Kenji Yoshihara, thanks for the fuck shack. Signed, Dirty Mike and the Boys.
There you go. That's all. The last thing I want to say about Yoshi is I equally hope for all six of them that they're all fun members to have in the house, and they produce great TV for us to watch and laugh at and or with. My main worry with him, though, is if he wants to bail, like if he just doesn't want to sleep in the house, he doesn't have to. Like, it's not going to be a Maya situation where it's like, why are you sleeping on the couch? It's literally just he's gone. He just sleeps wherever his bus is.
Guys, are we going to get the first person to just like up and bail on Terrace House without saying a word to anyone?
Just ghost everybody?
Dude, that'd be wild.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But I can
only hope for that drama.
Let's move on to the last
boy.
The sixth boy.
Oh, man.
Ruka Nishinoiri. It's a weird last name.
I got a nickname for this guy, too.
Jack, first, can I hear you say his last name? Please, can you please say his last
name? Nishinori. That's it.
No.
Close.
It's close.
It's close. Hey,
what are you just trying to fucking shame me off the podcast?
You should know you
like, yes. Yeah. Here's a tricky one. Jack, I never get this.
No, I mean, I had to feel my way through the dark on it, too.
First, we had Beanie. Okay. Now, then we had Short Bus.
Yoshi.
Now, we got Grandma's Boy.
Oh, that's yeah, literally that's in my fair. Notes like five times.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, oh my it's God. Fucking Grandma's Boy. They put up as, you know, because I watched the Chins and Shins, then the interview, and I was like, this motherfucker can't be any older than 17, 18.
Yeah.
He's 20. And a child.
He's 20 years old, which is still really young.
He can drink.
A child.
Shit. I thought, like, the way they were talking about him in the Chins and Shins thing, like, they were talking about him like he was a junior in fucking high school.
Dude, not even, like, a middle schooler. Like
yeah.
When you're 20 years old, you need to know where the power button is to turn on the washing machine, okay?
Yeah.
Blanket and, statement.
And also, can we talk about, like, he has a big family. Like, that's maybe the closest yeah, to, like, does. A Catholic family I've seen yeah. in Japan.
Also in Kanagawa, by the way. This,
yes,
the,
Kawasaki, this Kanagawa yeah. Prefecture.
Yep.
I was trying to tell, like, which generation was which, because it's obvious that, like, Grandma's sitting on the couch yelling at him, which I loved, but yeah. I was
this
trying
to tell,
like, who are
his parents?
This
whole scene was wholesome as hell, by the way.
Yeah. Who are his parents? Who are his siblings? Because there were, like, those two little twin girls,
yeah.
which was super cute, and then I think he had two other siblings. It's just, it's a lot of people in a room.
Yeah. And almost all of them were, like, you're going to have to learn how to pick up after yourself, right? Don't oversleep. Clean your room. Don't forget to learn how to do laundry. Like, literally, oh. I had flashbacks to when I was 16, 17, moving out of the house. And I'm like,
yeah, I love how the dad was like this kid. Mind your manners, boy.
Yeah, he kept calling him boy.
You he sounded really like that, exactly. Also,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like just like Kratos.
He was Kratos. Yeah. Thank you.
And I love, and this to me is... it's like an omen as to, I think he's not going to have any success in the house in terms of romance because his no. grandma, well, many reasons, right? But his grandma joked, like, don't fall in love and don't date two people at once. And I'm like, if it's your grandma making that joke, you do not have the street cred to date one person, no. probably.
This is one of the most sheltered kids I've ever seen in the show. I will say, this kid might honestly do worse than Eden Kai.
How big a deal? Whoa, bold words. But how yeah. big a deal do you think it was when he showed up at home with those earrings in his ear?
Oh, he probably got a stern talking to. I have to imagine.
No, alternate theory. What if his mom is like cool about that, but he only would go to do it if his mom or grandma went with him and he had to hold their hand?
Oh gosh.
They went
oh
to my Claire's.
Like his mom outcome. Seems like a cool mom, though. I will say that.
It was interesting, like, how it could have been positioned that he's, like, the rebel of the family, because he's, like, which we haven't even said yet, he's a skater / snowboarder in his part-time when he's not working at Murasaki Sports, I believe?
Yes.
Yes. So, right. like, he's, like, the rebel of the family. Like everyone else is, like, really normal, and then there's this guy sitting with like three different earrings, and but with his personality, and in both interviews, like I thought what was gonna happen is in the Chins and Shins, it's like he's like, hi, I promise I'll behave, I'll learn hi, how to do hi, things family, and then like he's gonna be sitting down in the interview and he's like, yeah, it's gonna be fine, whatever, like
yeah, I'll be whatever,
I'm 20 years old and I'm gonna cool fuck guy. Shit up.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna be annoyed, but I actually like the no. more wholesome. Like he's like,
very wholesome, but like, too, like so it's like, oh my gosh, he's so cute, but he's so ignorant. And he's gonna
see. It's really impossible. Mean, it's really impossible to not draw the parallels between him and Yudai from mm-hmm. OND. However,
yeah, Yudai.
I feel like Ruka has more of a seems to have more of a. Naive heart, I guess. You know, he seems a little less selfish. He really seems like kind of like a Peter Parker almost kind of character.
Yeah. He seems I mean, he's pure. Holding down a job and everything. And we don't know either if that's just like familial teasing that are like, do you even know how to turn on like the washing machine? Like maybe he is like a fully formed adult, but you know, family's going to be like that.
Hold on.
That's true. I mean, I think you could shove just about anyone in a scene with their family, and they're gonna, I mean, you're gonna get a similar result.
You're gonna get embarrassed. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's pull this up another meta layer. What if this is the entire family is just a bunch of jokesters, and they all know, like, oh, this is gonna be on Terrace House. Fuck yeah, we're gonna make a child out of you. Let's go.
Oh man, we'll see.
I mean, he's one giant troll.
He played into it well, if that's the case. But
yes,
it was so cringy. Yes. See the way they reacted to it.
So his hobbies are snowboarding and skateboarding. I hope he's better at skateboarding than Armand was, but he will probably not be as good at snowboarding as
Taka.
Thank you. Yes.
Takayuki.
I don't know. He comes off as a type where he doesn't seem like he's good enough at either to turn those into his job, or like even have an inkling of that, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he comes off as very like, this is my hobby at the moment, and I'm just gonna, like, I don't have any other ambitions, so I'm gonna pursue this as a career sort of thing. That's what it comes off as, yeah, to me. Like, and you could tell in the way his family was just like, oh yeah, the skateboarding thing, right? Like, they were very like passive. I feel like that's one of those things where like they've had a discussion about it with him before, and they've just kind of like, they just tolerate it now, you know what I mean?
Like, let's not get it twisted. We're not gonna see him high five a baby much like Kaito did at the skate park one day. Like, that's not going to happen with Ruka.
What if he high-fives himself?
That's sadder.
Because he's a baby.
Oh, like, man.
He's a baby.
But, guys, can you see him, now that we know the girls of the house, can we see him pairing up with anyone? Because it's hard for me to imagine. I hate that we evoked the name Eden Kai, but I can see why.
Yeah, Yusuke was his actual name, right?
Yep.
I don't know if we can see Ruka-san.
Yeah, from Aloha State Daily for reference.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can see Ruka doing things.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think we got to see him in a very particular lens. So I think like him actually interacting with like people that aren't his family, or interviewers that are shoving a camera in his face. I'd like to see him in a more natural setting, I guess, is what it is, than something. Because out of all the like chins and shin shots, this was the most stilted and like awkward one. Like, I loved it, but it was so awkward.
I will say,
yeah, I agree with that. It was different though. I will say it stood out. Like, I don't think we've ever seen someone just sit there with an entire full family in their living room.
Yeah, the more we talk about it now, the more I want to go back and watch it again for the entertainment.
Yeah,
value.
I mean, it was kind of adorable though, because they were like all seeing him off, and he's like, "Hey, you can have my room while I'm gone," to his brother or whatever, and like, make sure you take care of the chores and stuff like that. It's such a like a wholesome like
a Harry Potter.
It's like a beginning of a it's like a beginning of a movie, and someone is sending off their kid to go on the hero's journey.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's going
you
to,
will
like,
go to the far flung city and go to the castle and talk to the king.
Like, it was like that.
That's what it reminded me of.
So my thing with the him and the women in the house, right? I think the closest, like, to me, I guess the most realistic pairing I can imagine is Ruka and Kaori, because Kaori seems maybe like the most motherly of the three women, and maybe the most likely to have the patience to deal with a child who may or may not know how to do laundry.
Yeah, but I don't see that turning into a romantic relationship. I can't picture it.
But hear me out. Ruka's into older women.
Yeah, I was going to say, he did say that he really is drawn to older women. But that's only one-sided, right?
That's true. I mean, I'm just saying, like, for Ruka, at least, the puzzle's there.
Aren't they all older than him, though?
Well, yes. But, like, he made a point, like, older women, you know? Not just that they are older than him, but they are, you know, up there in age.
Is our parkour girl older than him? By 1 year.
1 year.
So she's still an Ane-san. But yes. I'm just saying, like, as far as sports go, skateboarding, parkour, there's a little bit of overlap there. So maybe a connection will be forged that way.
Maybe. But
maybe.
Ruka does say, I'm just, again, bolstering the Kaori argument here, he's into short-haired girls.
Like I said, I mean, he's into it, but
I'm just saying,
it doesn't usually go well when one person likes one person. There's no reciprocity there at Terrace House traditionally.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I hope the best for the guy because I like him a lot already. I like him way more than, and this is super early, right? So I could hate him by the end of the first episode. But as of right now, I'm like rooting for him. I just don't see a way for him to get an in with any of these women at all.
Nope. Yeah, but no, but what I, even if he doesn't end up in a relationship or whatever, right? What they kept bringing up in his Chins and Chins video, right, is they hope he learns a lot, right? He matures, he comes out of his shell, he gains just some life experience because it sounds like he's just a homebody. Other than skateboarding, right? Like, he's very much like, I mean, he was 20 years old and he still wasn't out of his parents' house yet. Like, he hasn't gone to university or anything like that. You know,
that's more
and
common
so, like,
in Japan.
What's that?
Isn't that like...
I mean, it's not...
It's not uncommon.
It's
yeah, it's not uncommon for
in
people.
Japan. You're usually with your parents.
You stay there for a while. And what I was going to say is that no wonder he's in his shell because he gets referred to as boy.
Like, yeah.
You know, you're like kind of keeping him, you know, keeping him under your thumb that way. Boy. So.
Yeah. And I mean, lest we forget too, that Ruka says he's, he has a little bit of trouble talking to women sometimes. He gets very embarrassed very quickly.
Red in the face.
Oh, yeah. And he's trying to get over that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just hoping, like, at the end of the day, this is a low bar, but I just hope he grows more than Yudai did on the show. That's kind of all I want for Ruka.
I think he will because he just comes across as way more humble than Yudai did.
Mm.
You know, and I think before we get there, before he learns those life lessons, we're going to have some cringy moments in the future. We're going to have those moments where I'm like, oh, my God, this scene needs to cut already.
I can't see him like spending dad's credit card though. You know,
I don't see that. Right, because his dad will kick his ass.
Right. But I mean,
boy.
Can we twist the lens a little bit? What if it's not cringy but adorable? For example, Ruka's been there for a couple weeks now, desperately needs to do laundry, but for the life of him, he can't figure it out. So he finally musters up the courage to shuffle up to one of the girls and it's like, hey.
Hey, where do I put these quarters?
Can you show me how to do laundry, please? I'm almost out of underwear, and I really
Atelier to Tori, please. Atelier to Tori.
And then the girl is like, oh yeah, here, let me show you how to do it. And then they bond over teaching.
They both go to reach for the laundry out of the dryer. Their hands touch.
Mm.
Then they look and their eyes meet.
We are.
There it is.
Like a burning
star. And then Kenji's in the background with a guitar serenading.
Oh my God, stop.
Okay, so.
Daily's got words.
This discussion has made me much more excited about the guys because I gotta say, like, initially having watched all these interviews, I was like bored. I'm like, I don't care as much. Especially, I'm sorry, but Shohei was super boring to me. Like, it's just like, great, another model/actor.
Oh, I agree.
Cool.
I totally agree.
Yeah, his was the most blasé out of the three, 100%.
Beanie.
Can I ruin Ruka just a little bit for everyone, though?
You can try.
Okay. So in my notes, I have two things written. One, so he's into older women. That's cool. Two, he got very excited when he talked about how his grandma loves him.
His grandma's his favorite. It's so sweet, though.
So my question is, how much older are we talking here?
I'm going to kink shame you right now.
Stop.
Oh.
No, Robert.
Pump
down.
The brakes, Scarpinito.
Bad.
Pump the grates.
This has been Tadaima. Until next time, itekimasu.
Close. Huh. I'm just saying, it was a little bit like the question came into my mind.
He really loves his grandma. There's
clean
nothing
your
wrong
mind.
With that.
Sure, sure.
He's grandma's favorite.
He's
which
grandma's
makes
boy.
Me question, what did his siblings do? Like, what's wrong with his siblings if he's grandma's favorite?
Yeah, yeah. How did they fall out of favor?
Wait, he's just the oldest, isn't he? He seemed like it.
I couldn't.
Yeah, it's kind
it's
of
hard
to
tell, man.
I mean, I would guess so only because he offered his room, right? Like, usually that's the sign of the oldest moving.
Yeah, because, like, to he was facing forward, right? Like, where the TV was. He had his mom, like, right there in front of the TV. To the right was the dad. And then, yeah. And then his siblings to the left there. And then his grandma.
And the two twins. Two little girls.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Big family.
Either way, I'm just saying, man, he might be... It might be end of the really old
I'm going to close the door on this shit right now. Guys, thank me later. But I just want to go around the table one lap each and just like, how do we feel now that we know all six of these people? You know, what...
How do we feel about the house?
How we feel it overall?
I think that the Terrace House producers have done a damn good job starting out with a really diverse cast, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're getting... people that have careers and things that we've never seen on Terrace House before, which is super exciting. That have mm-hmm. hobbies that we've never seen before, right? I mean, we're still getting a little bit of modeling. Yeah. It's to be expected at this point. But like, for the most part, I mean, we're getting a gearhead. We're getting a lead singer of a band who lives in a bus. We're getting a wholesome kid who's just like, I do this for my family.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You got an actor. I mean, and then a parkour artist and an illustrator. Like, I think that's super interesting. I don't know about you guys.
I agree with you. Like, it is an interesting cadre of people they brought together here. Their personalities, I don't see any super red flags here that are sticking out to me yet. I'm excited to see how they all interact. I will say, though, I mean, with Shohei, yeah, he is kind of like, paint by the numbers a little bit with what we know of Terrace House, but the fact that he's familiar with Taiwan, you know, I'm hoping I learn a little bit more about that country because I really don't know much about Taiwan, sad to say.
Daily? Jinx?
I'm Stereo. Much more excited about the girls than the boys still.
Same.
But that said, yeah, I feel so like as far as the girls go, I don't really foresee any issues coming up with them. I do see like maybe some internal struggles happening with the guys. And I, you know, that makes for good Terrace House TV.
You know, I'm Ooh. Looking at, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You first, then okay. back.
I'm looking at all six of the names here. And I think that, so something I've heard a lot based on scouring the subreddit and just reading people's comments and stuff is that Boys and Girls Next Door is still, I guess, one of the best, if not the best, seasons of Terrace House, and part of that comes yes, and part of that comes from what I hear is that Boys and Girls Next Door doesn't focus as much on the romance and focuses more on the people and their goals in life and what they want to do and how they are career wise when they leave the house. This season, I'm getting hella vibes like that. I kind of don't care yes. if any of them date each other or don't date each other. I care more about real talk. I really only care about the parkour. Everything else is secondary.
Okay.
I just want a really cool parkour like, movie clip at the end of this season.
All I know of Terrace yes. House is dating. I think it'd be super weird for me. Again, I've never seen BGND, but... all I know Terrace House is dating. So to me, it would be really weird if no one dated. And I guess that's a good segue into my question is, who are the first two people to date?
Risako and Parkour.
No.
Wait, what?
I don't think we get it. I really don't think the first date is going to be a same-sex date.
No, it's just going to be her doing parkour. That's the date.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Alternatively, Haruka and her Corvette?
Yep. I mean, that first date, we already saw it.
True.
It's her getting the
I
belt.
Think Shohei
I mean, he,
is good.
She did get the belt off her car. Wink.
Oh.
Any serious answers, guys? No?
Huh. I'm thinking about it. Just everyone seems so different to me right now. Like, I don't know, because we haven't seen them, like, interact with each other yet.
I know, just based on the personality. It'd just be interesting once we see the first episode. I think, okay, I'll start. I think Shohei is going to make the first move. I think he's going to ask Haruka. That's my, and I think Kenji is going to be attracted to Kaori, but I don't. I think his balls are yet to drop, so he's not going to make any moves yet. I think on that, and then we'll see I think Shohei will kind of. I don't want to use the term like play cleanup, but I think Shohei will like maybe also be attracted to Haruka. But we'll see. There might be a it might start out with a triangle. That'd be kind of crazy.
Wait. Shohei is going to be attracted to Ruka?
Yeah. That was my first guess.
Okay. So same sex.
Okay.
Shohei and Haruka. Isn't Haruka?
Oh, Haruka. Okay, I wasn't hearing the ha part. I only heard Ruka, and I was like,
oh, that's a bold prediction.
I just realized that, yeah, the names sound really similar if you just say them quickly like that. Yeah, I just realized. No, yeah. Shohei and Haruka. And I think maybe Kenji, that might be a triangle. We'll see. Don't know. I know nothing.
Yeah, go ahead. Did I call
you? You know, I think I could see Ruka trying for Kaori.
No way.
I could see him wanting to,
but not. Yeah.
But I feel like it's going to end in an awkward scene where Kaori's like, you know, she's trying to be really cordial with him and be really nice, and he's just like struggling to get the words out. And then we're going to get a scene where Kaori's like talking with one of the other girls or something in the girls' room, and Kaori's like, yeah, you know, like, because she's going to be asked, like, what do you think of the boys? And she's like, yeah, you know, like, Ruka seems really nice. I don't know. he's really young, and he's a little bit too, I don't know. He's a little awkward.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, looking at this group, nothing sticks out to me except
me for
Ruka and Kaori, and that's just a reach. Because I don't foresee Haruka and Kenji getting together, only because I think Haruka would rather die than be caught driving a bus.
Yeah, but I guess that's true.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good point. I don't know. With Risako, I just, based on what I know of her, she seems very, like, I think I only really picture her dating a guy who's equally as fit as her, or at least cares enough about fitness as much as her. I don't see the three guys like competing up to her snuff.
Real question, up to her snuff. With Kenji, don't you have to have like a different kind of license, like a CDL or something like that in the States? Don't you have to operate a vehicle like that, like a bus?
Yep.
So true. Does that mean like he can operate anything up to that, or does that mean he needs a different license to just drive a normal car? I don't know the answer.
I don't.
But maybe he can't even drive the other cars.
Legally, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that we already know that their license laws in Japan are super strict.
Strict, yeah.
Their upkeep, yeah. So, yeah, maybe not.
All right, Daily, we've been delaying long enough for you to come up with some answer. What do you got?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the friendships, I guess, more.
Same.
In the sense that I'm really wondering if someone's going to, like, step up and kind of take Ruka under their wing between, like,
yes,
Shohei and Kenji.
I
feel like Kenji is going to be maybe a similar figure as Taka was to Yudai, but this time it's going to go right. Mm. We're going to see less tears, more smiles,
because Ruka's more moldable
bond. Yeah. He seems more open and less, I have no idea what planet he lives on.
Yeah, what
I
if
still don't know
yeah
about
what if
planet Yudai
planet no
what
socks.
If like yeah like what if Kenji is like, you know, maybe his band is like getting a little bit bigger because of Terrace House, but maybe he's like, you know, hey, you should be realistic about your goals. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd love to see a moment like that where Kenji's just like, hey, just like take it from me. Like, I spent 5 years doing nothing with my life. This is as Kenji put it, right?
Yeah.
And tells Ruka, like, just think about what it is you want to do and really go for that thing and take it seriously.
Because I definitely see like a connection there happening naturally, because like Ruka does, you know, skateboarding and snowboarding. Maybe he also does surfing, which we know that Kenji does.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's never done it and they go, that would be fun. Like, they go out and it's like, oh, let's see how similar it is. It's not at all.
Oh, not even a little.
I could see Shohei being the player of the season. I could see him being like the early Uchi.
Beanie.
And
early Uchi.
And Uchi had a beanie too. Whoa. Conspiracy theory.
He'd date all three. And then it'd be like The Bachelor, where his beanie is the rose, and he has to choose who to give his beanie to.
If this were 2014, if this were 2014 still, people would be trading beanies. That was a thing. That was a thing that people did in 2014.
Why does this beanie smell like strawberry shampoo?
Man, I wouldn't complain about that.
No, I'm not complaining. So, all right, last question, since we're in these kind of predicting mode here for what's going to happen. Who's the first person to leave?
Ruka. I'm going with Ruka.
Ruka.
It would have to go bad for him. You think he'll get homesick is what it is.
Mm, yeah.
I feel like Farouk would have to go bad for him. For him to leave.
And maybe it will.
Oh, no.
Maybe it'll be too much pressure.
If like he gets home,
older people.
If I'm you think he gets homesick?
Pure risk. I think Ruka is at the highest risk to leave because there's so many new elements, right? Living on his own for the first time. Not just living on his own, but living with five roommates, which is definitely not a usual thing in Japan.
But
three of
say,
those roommates are girls. He can barely talk to them. Like,
isn't it near his house, though? Didn't he say that? He can visit his grandma whenever, right? He made it sound like it was pretty close. Am I crazy?
Kanagawa. I don't know where Kanagawa is in relation to
Maybe I'm Tokyo. Totally wrong, too. Maybe he's far away, and I'm just...
I didn't get the impression that it was close. Like, he just walked down the street.
Hmm. No, not that sort of close, but...
Okay. Go ahead. Colin, you go first.
Well, and to add another thing onto what Robert was saying, like, not only living with five other roommates, but living with five other roommates for the first time out on your own on fucking TV.
Mm. On TV.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And can't do laundry.
And you can't do laundry.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I'm just saying, there's a lot of factors that can go wrong that I think would contribute to Ruka going home that I imagine that he might be one of the first to do so.
Valid. I mean,
I don't want him to, but...
No.
Same.
I think, okay, for me, there's two people that are sticking out, two possible scenarios here that could lead to someone leaving. I think that maybe we are underestimating Risako's temper a little bit based on the information she shared with us last week.
She was my pick. I think she's going to leave first.
Yeah, and so maybe that could play a factor and she just like waves the white flag and is like, I'm out of here. Who knows? Also, I could see another scenario where Shohei, romance ain't happening for him. And that's kind of what he's there for. And he just bails too because he's like, well, I lost. I struck out with all the girls or the ones that I was interested in anyways. I'm out of here. I'm a wayward spirit. You know, I don't give a crap. I'm going back to Taiwan. So those are the two that kind of stick out like as possibilities, but it's so hard to predict these things. We really need to start a pool.
I feel like Shohei's going to be stubborn though and like want to stay even if like he's not getting along with people, even if he's getting rejected.
Really?
Partially because he said that he wanted to stay in Japan.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't on Tara's house. So like and that's, you know, free
yeah, I
rent
could see. Yeah,
for the
see him.
Artist.
Hey, Armand. Like,
I could see Shohei or Kenji kind of sticking around for a while, and Kaori by extension. I think she could be hanging out in the house for a while too.
Yeah, I think Shohei might stick around the most, only because probably in the same reason Armand stayed around for so long is that moving out of the house means moving thousands of miles away, which is just a huge endeavor and a lot of money. Granted, Taiwan is not as far away, but it's still an international affair. For Shohei to move out of the house.
What if Kenji gets bus sick and has to leave the house?
Well, then
maybe he just goes and sleeps in the house. Yeah.
He'd sleep in his fuck
in the bus. We don't know the nature of this bus. We have assigned meeting to
daily,
this bus.
Daily real talk. Look me in the eyes.
Jesus
do you think
is in this bus.
Do you think he's never
Jesus
fucked in that bus?
What, Robert?
Do you think he's never fucked in that bus?
Oh, not with that blanket there. Come on, Robert, have some cues.
He turns the blanket over.
Yeah. No, I do. I definitely feel like he's fucked in the bus. But that doesn't have to be the sole purpose of the bus.
When a man buys a bus, what else is he buying it for, Dale?
Like, he bought suspension.
Travel,
he bought
living,
the suspension for a reason.
Fucking.
Oh my god.
It's for traction.
If this bus is a rocket.
Very practical.
He's
going to
be banging, in the back of the bus. The e-brake is going to go out. And he's going to be like, oh fuck. He's going to take the Jesus blanket and throw it on the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel.
There it is.
That's the joke. That's the end of this episode.
All right.
There it
is. I'm excited, y'all. Six new faces. Six fresh faces, probably a bunch of arguments and or romances and or maybe nothing and or sugoi, like when they see the house the first time.
I will say in the most non-spoilery fashion as I can say it,
are you about to spoil for us?
It's
don't
very
say
vague.
Nothing you've heard. What are you doing?
It's very vague.
No, like you can't just say like I heard Dumbledore dies at the end.
No.
It's
it
very
doesn't.
Vague.
I'm not going to name names. I won't say who it is. All I've heard through the grapevine is there is an argument that happens in this series that's really really bad and could be the worst in Terrace House history. That's all I know.
Is he done talking, guys?
That's big.
Now I know.
I plugged
that's
my ears.
That's big. I don't want to know.
I plugged my ears. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, Jack's pure. Okay.
Yeah,
the rest
Jack's
of us.
Yeah.
Thanks, Colin.
Don't worry, Jack. Dumbledore just dies at the end. Don't worry.
Oh, it's fine. Oh, damn. I didn't like him anyways.
Oh, rude. Wow.
Rude. That's homophobic.
What? How's that?
Dumbledore's gay.
That's, oh my yeah, God. No, that's, yeah.
Dumbledore's
spoilers,
gay.
Spoilers, everybody. Talk about spoilers up in here.
Yeah. I think that's okay. Do you want to know who's stop. Gay? Spoiling our let's holy stop. Tokyo 2019-2020 terrorist house experience. Cullen.
Any other movies or franchises we want to spoil out here? You know, Rey is now an evil Sith now. What's up with that? Darth
the guy
Maul's
in,
alive.
The guy in Die Hard wins.
What else?
Russell Crowe dies at the end of Gladiator.
Ratatouille has a rat in it.
Okay.
The protagonist of Star Wars is a guy named Star.
Okay. Last name Wars.
This is his war. Yeah.
It's a,
one
it's a
man's war.
It's a biopic, yeah.
Stars Wars.
Stars Wars.
No, that's the sequel.
Oh, man.
Oh, right.
So that does it for this week's episode of Tadaima. If you enjoyed what we did here today, please feel free to tell a friend, spread the word, let them know as we're getting the hype going for the eventual Tokyo 2020 drop on Netflix. Again, that's next Tuesday. Get excited. If you don't want to tell a friend, consider telling a stranger by leaving us a review on iTunes. We publish the show, we create it, we do all the art and the recording and the editing all of ourselves. That's all on us. So every little bit of support we can get, we appreciate so, so very much. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, theories, anything that you think we missed about these six people before we hop into Tokyo 2020 proper, please email any and all of those things to us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. But please do not spoil it for us like Colin did.
I didn't spoil God. Anything.
Sounds hey. Like you spoiled
you're,
something.
You're,
just
you're
the look
mar-
at their faces.
You're the martyr.
Seems
I'm
like
I'm
you
making
spoiled
you the martyr.
Colin. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. It made me more excited.
Don't say nothing.
You can catch us next Tuesday where we finally start our T20 coverage.
God, I'm oh so my God. It's
I'm
here.
So excited for this.
I
feel like that scream was a spoiler too, Colin.
Colin, mute your mic. Cut the cord.
I'm kidding. But yeah, you can catch us next Tuesday and join us when we start binging that show like the rest of you will. This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itekimasu.
Email us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at TadaimaPod, and check us out on Facebook and YouTube at Tadaima, a Terrace House Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Hold on, let's...
Buddy.
Oh,
welcome to Jack's Corner. Jack, do you want to talk? Do you want to tell us what's going on?
Holy shit.
What's going on your side of the woods?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, a Terrace House Podcast. My name is Jack Zepeda. We're your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix, Colin Sparling, Daily Wilhelm, and Robert Scarpadino are joining me at the live from the top of Cat Mountain.
Guys, I want to talk about cereal. Can we talk about cereal for a minute?
No,
are
wait,
all
guys. Do you guys want to do a show? You want to do the damn thing? We're going to talk about Sarah's house. Hey, guys, I'm Robert Scarpinito. And,
yeah, Nelly, do somebody.
Mm-hmm. No kink shaming.
That's the most salient thing to remember.
And with that, let's do the real show.
Okay.
Well, that's the blooper reel.